Welcome to this Fabric Scraps podcast, part of The Art of Togethering. In this episode, you'll hear Melissa Locke interview professional tap dancer Anna Esposito. You can hear more thoughts about The Art of Togethering from Anna in our podcast, The Art of Togethering, That Beat. Enjoy.
After each of these Art of Togethering gatherings, we've been asking the artists to tell us a little bit more of their story and just digging a little bit deeper than we can during the regular time. So taking a few minutes. So thanks for staying a little after.
Of course.
And you'll probably hear in the background people cleaning up.
And it's quite windy today.
It's windy, yeah.
My hair was flying.
Yeah. So people can still get a taste of this gorgeous day at the falls and the excitement.
Audible.
Yeah.
Experience.
So my first question for you, Anna, is how do you actually describe yourself as an artist?
That's a great question. I prefer to describe myself as a performer and a storyteller, I think. I have many hats I wear to facilitate those two roles. My background was mostly in musical theater. I started doing that, and I did start doing other styles of dance, but I mentioned this in the service that I didn't really start tap dancing until I was a little bit older. So I like to not only switch between those roles, but I also like to honor the time I've spent in all those roles by using an all-encompassing term of like performer or storyteller to just describe the reason I love to do all these things as well.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But I also consider myself a teacher and a choreographer, and I do consider obviously myself a tap dancer.
Yeah, so just so people can find you and know what you do, can you just do a little commercial for the, like if people want to take tap lessons, what would they
Probably reach out to my momager, Heidi Esposito, and she can, no, I'm just kidding.
If you're listening, you probably do know Heidi Esposito.
That's true, and she is great at advertising for me and handling all my inquiries.
To people today
Perfect.
Like, I want to take tap.
Yes, I was joking that we should like start a tap class like after Fabric, like noon on Sundays, like stay in and learn how to tap dance or something, but
Careful what you say.
I know,
we're
right?
Oh,
God. That would actually be really fun. But I feel like the best way to probably contact me, being a freelancer, the opportunities I have and things I do changes all the time. So shameless social media plug, you can follow me on Instagram at Anna K. Esposito, E-S-P-O-S-I-T-O. Or you can email me with the same thing at gmail.com. Otherwise, give Rhythm Street Movement a follow for sure. They're the tap company I dance with. We also have albums out on Spotify and Apple Music. You can listen to the song we danced to today, Timeless. It's a great car jam. Mm. So I highly recommend doing that. And Keen Sense of Rhythm is also another tap dance resource. They're where I learned how to tap dance. And they have a lot of adult classes. My mom even takes one of those, as well as my class. She doubles up. She wants to tap dance so much. And I perform often through them. So they'll post about performances and class opportunities and stuff like that too.
Good. Thank you. There's different parts of our brains and souls, I think, that get touched when we dance, when we move our bodies in different ways. And so I'm going to check it out.
I think you should.
So, but back to your story, Anna. However you want to define started, what got you started?
That's a great story. So the first experience I had with tap was actually I went to an arts high school and we took a tap class. And that was kind of my first introduction to it. And I knew I loved it, but I was busy doing so many things that it was kind of just always on the back burner a little bit until I was teaching other genres of dance at a dance studio. And Ricky Milan, who is the founder, I guess is the best word to say, of Rhythm Street Movement, and who came and danced with me a little bit today. He was on tour with the company and he needed a sub. And he was like, could you sub my class? And I was like, sure. I took tap in high school. I could probably handle it. Spoiler alert, I could not handle the level of tap he was doing. And so I called up my teacher from high school and I said, do you have any adult tap classes? I got to train a little bit more before I keep subbing his class. And I just found such a community once I walked in the door of these tap classes, and my eyes were just totally opened up to the world of tap dance and all of its forms and all of the ways it exists in this world. And there's so many communities of tap dancers all over the world, and everyone I walk into is just so welcoming and so connected and full of so much joy that I was just hooked. And so I kept training and I kept going to these festivals, and then somehow people started paying me for it. And then here I am. So
wow, I love that you were already like accomplished at a lot of different kinds of performance, and that you let yourself be a rookie again.
Yes. That was an incredibly vulnerable experience, for sure. Like you said, especially I was already performing professionally as a dancer, just not a tap dancer, and as a musical theater performer. So yeah, to go back to be a beginner as an adult was hard. And also, most things I've tried, I've been very fortunate to be pretty naturally good at, and tap was not like that for me.
Really?
Yeah. So I had to really work hard to get good. And so it was also this great experience and discipline, and just so satisfying to actually put in a lot of work towards something and really see results. And I'm really proud of that work that I did, and it taught me a lot. Wow. Yeah. So
I can see that. So Ricky saw something in you that he said, "Hey, can you?"
Apparently.
Step in. Step
yes. Up. Yes. Wow. And I think he didn't truly know my level at the time, but then I kept dancing and I kept working. And I remember one class in particular that I was subbing, and he kind of came back into, and he was like, "Wow, you've been practicing." And I was like,
"Oh my
gosh. I have."
Awesome.
And I'll never forget the first time he texted me to do a show. And I was just so excited and so honored. Cause that was definitely a goal. Like when I started, because he was someone I had seen tap dance at that level. And, that was definitely kind of the dream, was to get to that place. And him asking me to be a part of a show was definitely an acknowledgement of the work that I had done to get there. So
what keeps you going now?
Oh, man. I think I saw a quote the other day that was like, education is never finished or something like that. And I totally believe that. And I totally believe that in tap dance. Like, you can think you've learned all there is in tap dance, and like then you go see someone else dance or go take another class or go to another festival, and your eyes are open to like a million more possibilities and combinations and steps. And everyone in the community is constantly working to better themselves as dancers and to get tap more visible in our communities, especially around musicians and in pop culture even. I mean, I mentioned this when I was talking, that so many people have this antiquated view of tap dance kind of existing only in the past. And it is so alive, and it is so growing and so present and so evolving, that definitely keeps me going. And personally, just like, where can I take tap dance? And like, how can my dreams and ideas and visions be facilitated through tap dance? And like, what can I create next? So that definitely keeps me going. My students, like, I have been very fortunate now to teach. This first experience with Ricky happened about 10 years ago. So I've been teaching tap now for about 10 years, and I have been so fortunate to see my students go on and have incredible careers in tap dance and experiences in tap dance. And that inspires me to only get better so I can continue to teach them and inspire them, and they inspire me back. And yeah, so there's a lot that keeps me going in tap dance.
Yeah, it sounds like it started with this one thing, but now there's all of these different inputs and outputs that keep you sort of either... I mean, you could like stuck in a good way, right?
Like, yeah. Really hooked on it. Like, hooked. Yeah. I mean, I think that is probably why I have a little bit of some ADHD. So I do get distracted pretty easily, but because tap is so consuming and yeah, there's so much to it that like, I am so stuck in it. Like I am able to turn off my brain and just completely focus on tap dancing. And that is such a release for me too. Like to just tap dance.
Well, that gets at a question of, I mean, what makes it hard? What?
Anyway. Oh, a lot of things, for sure. I mean, I touched on this, that I didn't start as a great tap dancer, and I started as an adult, and I was in class with a lot of kids, and to kind of put aside your pride and to keep going just for yourself. Like, as an adult, you don't have... I mean, my mom is very supportive, don't get me wrong, but it's not like when you're a kid, you know, and you have a lot of people kind of, like, encouraging you in that way because you're still growing and you're young and all these things. I kind of had to be that cheerleader for myself. So that was definitely hard. And just kind of pushing past those feelings of being uncomfortable with being bad and making mistakes and especially in front of other people and in front of some of my own students when I was learning how to teach. So those were definitely hard things. But the payoff was so worth overcoming those hard things. Like, you know, there's like nothing like the feeling when you do something that scares you, right? Like, I was just in Bayfield and we went on a kayaking tour of Madeline Island, and I'm terrified of heights. And we got to cliff jump at the end, and I was so scared, but I like I resurfaced from the water, and it was like the greatest feeling of like, oh my God, I did a really hard thing. And I survived, and I was so proud of myself. And I think that was so true of so many things in tap dance for me. Like that feeling of like, wow, I pushed through. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So
is it like I've done this and now that helps me do other new things?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, when you think of this is an interesting question that I came up with later and I didn't tell you about it.
That's
but
all right.
What do you trust as a tap dancer? What are things you have to trust?
Oh, wow. You have to trust your legs and feet for sure, physically, to kind of be there for you and be underneath you. And you definitely have to trust your ear to listen and to respond and react to either, you know, the other tap dancers you're with or the musicians you're playing with. And you have to really trust your instincts. Like especially when you're improvising, when you go for a step or go for an idea, you really have to kind of follow through on that, especially because it's such a physical art form. Like if I go for a step, I can't really back off, right? It's like this cliff jump. Like if I'm running for this cliff, I can't really like go back after I've jumped. And I think in tap dance that's definitely true too. Like you have to trust that, yes, like I this is what I want to say and this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to follow through and I'm going to be open to see where it takes me. The next step that comes out, because often when I'm improvising, I only have, you know, I kind of start with an idea that I know I want to start with this step or this rhythm or this idea. And then you just kind of fly from there. So I definitely think those are things you have to trust. And if you're working with other musicians or other tap dancers, you definitely have to trust your community. And it was really cool because if you're at the service today, it was just supposed to be me and Drew here. And my community really showed up. I had mentioned...
It was such a treat for everyone.
It was really cool. I had mentioned it to a couple other tap dancers what we were doing today. And they were like, wait, can we come dance too? And they showed up with their shoes and their boards. And but that was only built from, you know, years of dancing together and showing up for each other. And someone commented on the way out, like, you guys just look so connected and so together, and it took a while. It wasn't an easy process. Like, we all came from very different backgrounds. Some people in the company had danced since they were really little, me later in life. Ricky's a little bit older than us. We have people in the company that are younger than me. Just different teachers, different backgrounds, and we all had to kind of learn to come together and find a meeting place in the middle to be able to truly dance together and trust each other. So
that's really good to hear that it's not as easy as it looks.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, you guys make it look so easy. And I could hear, like, at the end, like, people are out of breath.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I was nervous to start this podcast because I was like, oh, I'm going to be on the podcast and you can just hear my heavy breathing in the background and Melissa's talking. But, yeah, it's hard. It's athletic for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we make it look easy. That's
you do. Yeah. It's such a good reminder, though, that people, we learn things because we practice and try and beginners. And
I think so many people in like going through life, you know, their lives might look easy, right? They make their lives look easy and they're doing a lot to show up and be there. And I think we don't often see that work.
Yeah.
And I mean, just relating this back to a bigger idea than tap dance, right? Because we're talking about conversations and as someone, I've struggled a lot with mental health. And I think a lot of people wouldn't know that because I make it look quote unquote easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've put in a lot of work and I know there are others out there like that. And just having grace in those conversations, like even when we're performing together, having grace for each other and lifting each other up when someone's tired, you can tell if they've taken a long solo, hopping in, being ready to kind of take over for them.
Nice.
Or we shout to each other a lot on stage to encourage each other, especially after a long number. Or when we were doing the driveway tours and it was 100 degrees outside and we, you know, had 6 more shows to do that day. We're like, we got it.
I love that. It was so contagious, the spirit of togetherness that you, and fun and joy.
Thank you.
Just pure joy.
I love to tap dance. I mean, I think you asked earlier, like, why I kept going or why I tap dance. And like, once I started, it was the thing that made me so happy. And I was like, oh, I love this thing. I want to keep doing this thing. This is where I feel joyous, where I feel happy. And when you guys asked me to come talk about tap, I was joking with my mom. I'm like, they know they're like letting me talk about like the thing that makes me the happiest and like that I'm the most passionate about. Like I might never stop talking about this. So like, are they sure? Like I'll do it. I will definitely do it. But yeah, I.
Well, that's
thank you.
Why we asked you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for letting me share that. But I'm glad it came across because that is something I really want to tell people about me and tap dance and yeah.
Well, thank you so much because of course. We all benefit from that joy that you've shared and your passion and your work. So
thank you.
For the work you've put in.
Thank you.
And for sharing some of those realities of it. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a way that we often say goodbye in tap dance, at least I do to my students. It's how we end a lot of numbers. If you guys know, shave and a haircut, two bits. So if I give you the shave and a haircut, Melissa's going to give me back the two bits to end our podcast. Here we go. Ba-ba-da-da-da.
Ba-ba.
Yay!